Morning, church. We are reading from Luke chapter 2, from verse, I'll be reading from verse 8 to 14. There were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heavens, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests."
Chapter 4. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And a report about him went out through all the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And a scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture's been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself.' What we have heard you did in Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well." And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land, and Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of the town, and brought him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, so they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. Amen.
Thank you, Diana and Jen. Let's give them a round of applause. If you come here regularly or you watch the live stream regularly, you'll know that when I've been preaching through a series on the Gospel of Luke entitled "Jesus is for Everyone." And last time we were looking at the fact that Jesus is good news from Luke 4, 14 to 30. This time we're looking at this Christmas, who is Jesus? From chapters 1 right through to 4, and particularly in chapter 4, verses 14 to 30. So as we come towards Christmas, those of us who are true Christian believers will be saying, Christmas is all about Jesus, won't we? Jesus is the reason for the season. But many people who are not Christian believers hardly know that Christmas is about Jesus at all, do they? It's all about having a holiday. It's all about parties. It's all about feasting. It's all about drinking. It's all about family. It's all about watching favorite films and enjoying the Christmas pop songs. And for many people, Christmas is more about Disney than it is about Jesus. And those non-Christians, those unbelievers who do know that the Christmas story is about Jesus, they know about the stable and the manger and the shepherds and the angels, but they don't see what the Christmas story has to do with them. Who is this Jesus that this is all about? What relevance does he have, they are saying, to my life in 2021? And I want to look at those questions because Luke chapters 1 to 4 addresses the question, this Christmas, who is Jesus? In these chapters, these first four chapters of Luke, Luke builds up a picture of Jesus as no ordinary man, no ordinary human being, but rather the Son of God. In chapter 1, Jesus' birth is foretold by the angels. The angels proclaim Jesus is the Son of God. Key people in the story like Mary and Elizabeth and Zechariah and John the Baptist in the womb are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and the adults start to prophesy. So Luke chapter 1 is saying, this Jesus is no ordinary baby. This Jesus is different from the thousands of babies that are born, even different from the many other babies that would have been born in Bethlehem in that year. In chapter 2, we see the miracle of the virgin birth. We have more angels appearing. The shepherds, Simeon, Anna, all saying Jesus is the promised Messiah, sent from God. And again, this message is, this Jesus is no ordinary baby. Later in chapter 2, Luke tells us that the young boy Jesus amazes the religious leaders in Jerusalem with his knowledge and understanding. And he proclaims that the Jerusalem temple is his father's house. And then when you get to Luke chapter 3, you have the adult John the Baptist, the respected man of God, the prophet, is pointing to Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, sent from God. In verse 22, we have God the Father himself speaking from heaven and saying to Jesus, you are my son, you are my beloved son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased. So even God is proclaiming that this is no ordinary baby, no ordinary man. And then in verses 23 to 37, we find a genealogy that points to Jesus as the Son of God. And then when you get into Luke chapter 4, the devil himself proclaims Jesus to be the Son of God. All these people are saying, this is no ordinary person. This is no ordinary baby. This is no ordinary adult. This is the Son of God. And then we find that Jesus starts his own ministry. He goes to the synagogue in Nazareth where he grew up. And he chooses to read the verses that we looked at last time from Isaiah 61, 1 to 2. And he says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And Jesus is proclaiming himself. All these others have been proclaiming. Even the devil has proclaimed. But here Jesus proclaims himself to be the Messiah, the Son of God. And every Jew at that time was looking forward to the Messiah coming. They were looking forward to the one who was to be sent by God to be the Savior of the world. And Jesus is challenging in this story those he grew up with. He's challenging those who knew him as a boy growing up. Jesus is challenging them to believe that he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God. And what was their response in verse 22? We read, "All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. And they said, 'Isn't this Joseph's son?' they asked. And the answer to their question is no. No, a million times no. This Jesus is not Joseph's son. Jesus is the Son of God. Angels have proclaimed it. Prophets have prophesied it. The virgin birth proves it. God himself has spoken it. The devil has admitted it. But Jesus' own hometown friends and relatives are rejecting it. They can't believe it. They are amazed by his teaching and his preaching, but they cannot believe that Jesus is anything more than Joseph's son." And that raises the question, what about us? What about you? This Christmas, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to me? Who is Jesus to you? Do you believe this Christmas that Jesus is the Son of God? Angels have proclaimed it. Prophets have prophesied it. The virgin birth proves it. God himself has spoken it. The devil has admitted it, but will you believe it? Will you confess it? Or will you reject Jesus? Will you reject Jesus like the people of Nazareth who couldn't believe that this Jesus that they had grown up with was actually the Son of God, the promised Messiah? In Matthew chapter 16, a little bit later on in Jesus' ministry, Jesus asks his disciples a searching question. Jesus asks them, "Who do people say that I am?" And the disciples answer him and say, "Some people say you're John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets who've come back to life." And Jesus asks, "What about you? What about you? Who do you say I am?" And Peter, the disciple, answers, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus blesses Peter because Peter has got the answer right. Peter knew who Jesus was and who Jesus is. And this Christmas, Jesus asks each one of us, "Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am?" And you know, it's so easy, isn't it, as Christians to give the right answer. It's so easy when we're here in church to give the right answer. It's so easy to say Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. But do we really mean that? Do we really believe that? If we do, it will make a massive difference to the way that we celebrate Christmas this year. It will make a massive difference to the way we live in 2022. It's easy, isn't it, to say that Jesus is the Son of God, particularly if you've been brought up in church and you've come to church all your life. It's so easy to say Jesus is the Son of God. It's so easy to say Jesus is Lord, but deny it by the way that we live our lives. If Jesus really is the Son of God, His birth, his teachings, his death, his resurrection, his gift of the Holy Spirit must be the most important events that have ever happened in world history. Praise God. As we approach Christmas, how important to you is the birth of Jesus? How much of your Christmas celebrations will be about the gift of Jesus? Another way of asking us or asking you the same question is, how much of your Christmas celebrations will be about buying and receiving presents? And thinking, there's already been a conversation in our house, in actual fact, because we discovered that someone we didn't expect was going to give us a present. And so then you got the headache. You're thinking, well, we better go and buy them something then, haven't we? We weren't planning on doing that. And you know, we have this pressure, don't we? And all this focus on presents and buying presents and receiving presents and everything else. You know, how much of your Christmas celebrations will just be about buying and receiving presents? How much of your Christmas celebrations will be about parties and feasting and eating and drinking and family and friends and Father Christmas and Disney classics and favorite films on television or whatever it may happen to be? And none of those things are necessarily bad. None of those things are necessarily evil at all. But if Jesus is the reason for the season, will Jesus be the center of your Christmas? Will Jesus be the center of my Christmas celebrations this year? You see, the birth of Jesus Christ should make a radical difference to every part of our lives this Christmas and on into 2022. Back in Luke chapter 4, the people living in Nazareth couldn't see past the boy and the young man they had grown up with. They liked Jesus. They were impressed with Jesus. They were proud that Jesus had now become famous. You know, someone from despised Nazareth, because, no, who would believe anyone from Nazareth, we're told? Someone from despised Nazareth had made it. They were famous. They were a famous preacher. That was quite exciting for them. But they could not believe that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was the promised Messiah. Jesus was just a small town boy who'd done good. And when Jesus began to teach that his mission was not just to Nazareth, was not just to Israel, but was actually to the whole world, including Gentiles, non-Jews, who Jews hated. It was too much for them, wasn't it? Their amazement at Jesus' teaching very quickly turns to fury. And they form a lynch mob. They were determined to kill this homegrown superstar who was too big for his boots, who was claiming to be the Son of God when they knew that he was brought up by Joseph and Mary in their own hometown. And here he was claiming to be the Son of God and claiming that he got a message for the whole world, even Gentiles. Who was he to be saying those things? He was guilty of blasphemy. He was guilty of blasphemy. He needs to be killed. He needs to be got rid of. And you know, if your concept of Jesus this morning is of Jesus as a sweet little baby that everyone coos over at Christmas time. Ah, the sweet baby Jesus. The little Lord Jesus. No crying he makes. What a load of rubbish. I think he cried just as much as anyone else and filled just as many nappies. The little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes, who lays down his sweet head. Ah, oh, isn't it lovely? Isn't it romantic? Isn't it gorgeous? If you just think that Jesus is nice and meek and mild and soft and cuddly, that is not the real Jesus, is it? That is not the real Jesus. You know, the reality is when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke and John and the gospel stories, Jesus caused disturbance and trouble most places he went. He really did. You know, when he spoke, he often challenged and offended people very regularly, particularly the religious people. In Luke chapter 4, in this story, you'll be find that Jesus caused a murderous mob riot. That's not someone who's sweet and nice and gentle and cuddly, is it? He was forever offending people. He couldn't help it because he was the Son of God dealing with sinners. He particularly offended religious people, people like you and me who go to church. He offended them. Sinners and outcasts and rebels generally loved Jesus, but religious and powerful people generally hated him. And Jesus forced people to either accept or reject him. You see, Jesus doesn't allow people. He doesn't allow you or me to sit on the fence about who he is. They have to believe in him or reject him. Jesus wouldn't allow the people of Nazareth to continue to think that he was just Joseph's son, a famous preacher, a teacher. They had to accept or reject him as the Son of God, the Messiah. And you know, Jesus will not allow you to sit on the fence too long deciding who he is. He challenges us to make a decision this Christmas about who Jesus is. I don't know whether you've ever tried sitting on a fence. It's very uncomfortable. Now, if you have to sit on the top of a fence for very long, it becomes very, very uncomfortable. And in the end, you have to decide which side of the fence you're going to jump down off, because you can't stand sitting there any longer. And you know, it's very uncomfortable to be undecided about Jesus. Jesus never intended us to be comfortable. Jesus challenges you and I to make a decision for him this Christmas, to make that leap of faith, to go, to let go, and to choose to follow Jesus. Jesus doesn't promise that it will be easy, but he does promise that he will be with you, that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He promises that you will find forgiveness, you will find freedom, and you will find life in all its fullness. Praise God. And if you've already made that decision that Jesus is the Son of God, if you have already made that leap of faith off the fence and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, Jesus challenges you to make him the center of your Christmas this year. He challenges you to go and to live for Jesus in 2022, to serve Jesus in 2022, to go all out for Jesus in 2022, to pursue Jesus next year. And my final point, and very briefly, this Christmas, are you ready for Jesus? Are you ready for Jesus? You know, if Jesus really is the Son of God, his birth, his teachings, his death, his resurrection must be the most important events that have ever taken place in world history in the past. The most important world event is that God came down from heaven and lived here on earth among men and women and boys and girls just like ourselves. And that has got to be the most significant thing that has ever happened. Even our dating system says that that is the most significant event that's ever happened. Why will next year be 2022? Do we believe that the world's only existed for 2,022 years? No. We believe that something happened around about that number of years ago that was so significant that we restarted our dating system from when Jesus was born. Society says the most important world event in history is the birth of Jesus Christ, the gift of Jesus Christ, God being sent from heaven down to earth. It's the most important thing that's ever happened. But don't forget that Jesus also promises that he will come again. And you know, that is the most important event in the future of this world. The most important event in the future of this world is the fact that Jesus has promised he will come again. Not he might, he will come again. The most important event in the future world history, I have to tell you, is not global warming. You know, we're getting ourselves in a tremendous stew about global warming, and we should do. It's important, but it's not the most important thing that's going to determine the destiny of our world, the destiny of our planet. It's not ecological disasters. It's not nuclear threats. It's not war. It's not terrorism. It's not famine. Yes, all of those things are really and very important issues, but the most important future world event is the promised return of Jesus Christ to judge the world in righteousness. And we need to be looking forward to it, folks. We need to make sure, first of all, that we're right with God, that we're right with we leapt off the fence on the right side and believe in Jesus. But then we need to be looking forward to the fact that Jesus is coming back again. There will be no more Christmas celebrations when that has happened. It will be one eternal celebration with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who returns victorious, praise God. There will be a creation. Don't think you're going to be floating around in a cloud playing a harp. I can't imagine anything more miserable than you know, everything else, doing that for eternity. I'm sorry for those of you who are musicians, but I'm not. And because we're told that there will be a creation of a new heaven and a new earth that will be paradise restored for those who will live eternally with the victorious Jesus Christ in that new heaven and that new earth. And so as we celebrate the coming of Jesus into our world this Christmas, let us also look forward to the second coming of that same Jesus, when he comes not as a helpless babe, but as an all-powerful, victorious judge, our Lord and our Savior returning. And so the New Testament challenges us to live as though the return of Jesus is the most important future event. And so Jesus himself challenges us to live in readiness for his return. He challenges us not to be like the five foolish bridesmaids who were not ready for when the bridegroom arrived. Not to be like the rich fool whose only focus was on building bigger barns to store his wealth. Not to be like the servant who buried his talent while his master was away, rather than trading with it until the master returned so he could present his profit to his Lord. Jesus wants you and I to be ready for his return, prepared for his coming. Do you believe that Jesus will return? Well, some of you do anyway, which is wonderful. You know, that you know, Jesus will come back on this earth as he promised. His promises are yes and amen. And he will come to judge the world in righteousness and judgment. And do you believe that on that day, you will have to stand before the judgment seat of God and give an account for your life? But you know, you want to be able to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, because you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that he is standing there as your advocate because his blood was shed on the cross to pay the price and the punishment for your sin so that you can reign with him eternally in heaven. Praise the Lord. So in summary, this Christmas, who is Jesus to you? Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, the greatest gift ever given? Will the birth, life, death, resurrection of Jesus be at the center of your Christmas this year, and will the future return of Jesus be at the center of your Christmas this year? Jesus challenges us to get off the fence, to be believers, to live for God, to live for God's glory, and to hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together, shall we? I'm going to ask Frank and the team to come up and lead us in worship. But let's just pray together as we get on our feet. Lord, I pray, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the wonderful gift of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the promised Messiah, that, Lord, the most important event that's happened in world history is the coming of Jesus to earth. Lord, the birth of Jesus, Lord, in Bethlehem. But, Lord, his death upon the cross for our sin as well, Lord, and his resurrection victory over sin and death and hell. Lord, we thank and we praise you. Lord, for those of us, Lord, who may still be sitting on the fence, Lord, I pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would make us uncomfortable. And, Lord, that we would get off that fence and choose to believe and follow Jesus in our lives. And, Lord, we thank and we praise you that, Lord, this world is not going to end in a nuclear disaster. Lord, it's going to end, Lord, when Jesus Christ personally returns here to earth to judge the world in righteousness. And, Lord, if our faith and our trust is in him, we will share eternity with him in glory. Lord, we thank and we praise you, Lord. We do not deserve this, but Lord, because of your precious blood shed on the cross, Lord, we can share in it. And so, Lord, we thank and we praise you for the wonderful gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord together.